Pop Dude. We might say the meanest things. Pop Dude. Sometimes we're not much company. There's no rearranging. Our writing remains the same. We remain the same. And as far as we're concerned, Pop Dude. You belong to us. Pop Dude.
Hello, everybody. Happy holidays and welcome to episode 4 of the Pop Dose podcast. I'm Dave Lifton, and over at popdose.com, we're getting this out to you on December 18th, a little bit earlier than usual. The reason is we wanted to talk about the holidays, and so we figured that the best way to do this was to push our recording schedule up a week so that it would be up before Christmas. And by we, I mean my co-hosts for the show, Jeff Giles and Jason Hare. Gentlemen.
Ho, 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 ho! Bitches! Happy holidays, fuckers!
Wow.
That's as low as my voice goes.
Did you rehearse that beforehand?
I knew I wanted to say ho, 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 but I guess what I didn't plan for is I'm looking at my audios, is recording it just totally like clipped 4 times. So good luck with that, Dave.
Ho, 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 fuckers.
I didn't plan the bitches or the fuckers. That's just when you put a microphone in front of my face, suddenly I become foul.
Has the time come for the 3D Santa this year yet?
No, I'm not. I can't believe you're bringing this up already. did you plan that?
No, it just occurred to me
you're
right now.
You're a lion sack of shit. You totally planned it. You know you are. You totally planned it.
What's the 3D Santa?
Well, there will be no 3D Santa this year. Oh, there was no 3D Santa last year. Shut up.
I thought there was.
No. Basically, you know the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. Of course you know the Radio City Christmas Spectacular. I like that show. I probably haven't seen it that many times because it's expensive and, you know, it's Radio City and it costs a lot of money. So they open the show for the past, I don't know, however many years with, they give you 3D glasses. Hate you. They give you 3D glasses and they have this animation of Santa flying through the country and the world and then landing in Times Square, and you know it's like a perfect, it's a Times Square that doesn't exist. It's like snow capped and like there's not a soul out on the streets and the snow is falling. You know, the snow does look beautiful in Times Square for approximately 13 seconds and then it turns to slush
and then the exhaust turns it black.
Exactly. Then suddenly you're walking in, like, you know, all that kind of crap. So anyway, a couple years ago, this is before I knew Jeff was going to exploit everything I told him. I was telling him that I went to the Christmas Spectacular with Jessica, and they had the 3D thing of Santa flying through the thing and the music and everything, and I got a little teary, and I got a little choked up, and he's like, I can't believe it, a 3D Santa makes you cry.
I can.
Well, now I can. Like he said, this was a long time ago.
Okay.
Right, and he didn't know the extents, the depths of my wussitude.
This was my first inkling.
That was the first one. Surprising that it wasn't after I emailed you and told you that I loved your Idiot's Guide to Toto that gave me. So I haven't seen it since then, but I've been threatening Jeff that I'm taking his daughter, and I'm totally serious, Jeff. Next year is the year.
All right.
Next December. No. Don't say all right, because you know every weekend you're like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. There will be a weekend around the holidays. It's either going to be this weekend or the weekend before that you're coming down with your daughter.
This sounds perfect.
It sounds what?
Perfect.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard purr. I thought you were going to say it sounds perverse, and I was going to be like, don't you dare talk that way. I love your daughter.
She is so into Christmas this year. She wants
is
to
she?
Paint. She wants to paint the house red and green.
And that must be difficult for you because you are not big on Christmas.
I don't really care about Christmas.
Truth comes out, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like I've been trying to hide it. I think I care more about Melomis than Christmas.
Well,
who doesn't?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, but she's really into it this year. She's been drawing pictures for Santa, and she got the idea that so he would know where we were, we should paint the house red and green.
And did she tell your father-in-law about that? Because your father-in-law would totally be like, that's a project I could take on.
You know, you're probably right, so I will not allow her to tell him.
No, you know what you'd have? You'd have one red stripe and one green stripe, and then he'd be like, I'll finish the rest next Christmas.
No, no. Knowing him, it would be, you know, 75%.
Okay.
And then there would be, like, 2x4s covering up the remaining portions of the house.
Well, if she's into Christmas, then she'll have to come down next year. I'll take her to the Radio City show. We'll go to the tree. We'll go to godforsaken Toys R Us. I was in Toys R Us in Times Square yesterday. No joke. Had to be like 3,000 people, at least. I mean, it was – I had the death grips on both of my nephew's hands because, you know, one wrong turn – and at one point my sister-in-law said to me, she's like, are you holding Simon's hand? And I said, I'm holding somebody's hand. I don't know whose hand it is. It could be my nephew. It could be some other kid. I don't know. Whichever kid I've got is coming back on the subway with me.
Did you cry at the tree?
The Rockefeller tree?
Yeah.
No, I was underwhelmed with the Christmas tree this year for some reason. I happened to be walking past the other day. We didn't go to the tree yesterday because the kids, after being in the Toys R Us in Times Square, were like, even they wanted to go home. But the tree, I passed it the other day, and I was like, I mean, it's big, it's pretty, certainly, but I wasn't like, I didn't have that 3D Santa moment.
You know, I swear to God, this is the truth. I got an email pitch from a publicist the other day for a DVD retrospective of the Radio City Christmas show.
Lighting ceremonies?
I guess. The Rocket, you mean the Rockette show, that show?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like the NBC annual tree lighting ceremonies. I thought that's what you were talking about.
Wouldn't that be an exciting DVD?
I could see them. I could totally. Hey, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but hey, I reviewed a DVD of a fireplace earlier this week, so it's like I totally get that. And I think the Radio City Christmas Spectacular does have some pretty good history that would be worthy of a documentary about the Rockettes. And
I'll see if I can dig the email out of the trash. I'll forward it to you.
No, I'm done reviewing Christmas themed stuff.
I'm gonna have to send you. I sent you guys a link. I think I sent it to you for Yule Log A Go Go.
No.
I didn't send that to you?
Well, clearly you didn't. Yule Log A Go Go?
I might have tweeted it. Yeah, it's basically like Yule Log, but with lounge music, lounge Christmas music, and burlesque dancers in front of it. Blue screen in front of it.
You just blew Jason's mind.
It was talked about on that show I sent you the link to. The Bachelor Pad radio show.
That I do remember, but I didn't listen to the show. But I did check out the link. But hold on, let me wipe my tears.
So next Christmas, maybe we can all get together in New York and do a 3D podcast.
We'll do live commentary during the Rocket show.
I think what would be funny for the three of us to get into a room and do a video podcast, except it'll be the three of us each with our laptops and our headsets on.
Yeah.
with our backs to each other.
Yeah.
And the video shot will just be a static shot on the three of us in like a triangle with our backs to each other.
And while I'm like half paying attention, half watching sports on TV.
There you go. Exactly. And I'll, if you guys should come down, you can come to the Acoustic 80s Christmas show, if there's an Acoustic 80s Christmas show next year. Oh, this is going up on the 18th. I have an Acoustic 80s Christmas show tonight, everybody. So if you're in the New York City area, I'm plugging it. I'm plugging it if you're not in the New York City area.
Are you going to do Last Christmas?
I will do Last Christmas.
Excellent.
What about Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses?
See, I shouldn't divulge the set list, but let's face it, anybody who's listening to this on Friday morning has already made up their mind whether they're coming to the gig. At the time of this recording, Christmas Wrapping is up in the air. I've now learned all the words, but we're not so sure we can do it without a horn player, without a sax player. So
get a horn player.
Get a distortion pedal.
That's right.
Is there somebody playing a horn outside your building right now for change?
There's no.
Hang on, I'll call somebody.
It won't be hard to find. There is somebody who plays saxophone and is fantastic. We're just trying to lock him down. And Mike is a little reluctant to do it without the unbelievable bass line that's in that song. That song has such a great bass line.
Okay, here's a suggestion for you.
Yeah, give it
to me. Because I saw some friends do this. Kazoos.
You know, that's – no, no joke. I was thinking I could either do that or I could do my melodica, but it would be hard to get from the saxophone back. You know, those lyrics are really fast and stupid.
Yeah.
so it's hard to get from the melodica back to the vocal and then play guitar too. But you know what?
Right.
I'm seriously going to take – God, Mike's going to hate you for this, but I am going to take that kazoo idea. Michael Parr played me some songs from an 80s – I want to say they were Canadian, some 80s cover acoustic cover band that's kind of like us, except they do all the lead lines. Whereas we do all the lead synth lines. Mike plays them on guitar. These guys did them all on kazoos. So okay. maybe I'll look at that. But yes, so yes to Last Christmas, yes to Christmas Wrapping. Do you guys want? There's two others. Do you want to guess what they are?
Christmas in Hollis.
That's damn straight.
Yes. 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders.
No, not 2,000 Miles.
Huh.
It's not. I don't think it's well known enough. I don't think it's. I don't think like. I love that song, but I don't know if I've ever heard it on the radio.
Really?
I don't think I have. Like,
that's because
like,
you listen to Z100.
I'm listening to 106.7 WLTW Light FM, the sounds of Christmas from, you know, Halloween until New Year's or whatever. Okay, so yes, Christmas in Hollis. There's one major one you're missing.
Do they know it's Christmas?
That's right. That's the one. And I can't think of any other truly popular, played every 2 seconds, Christmas 80s hits.
When was the Springsteen track released?
Oh, gee, someone here might know.
Yeah.
That was came out in like 76, or that came out in the 70s. Yeah. That was on a children's album called In Harmony, and that was it was recorded in 75. That was when it was that was how it came out.
That wasn't on In Harmony. In Harmony came out in the 80s. First,
I think you may be thinking of In Harmony 2, Jeff.
Yeah, maybe it's on In Harmony 2.
No, I'm thinking you're thinking of In Harmony 2.
In Harmony either came out in 1980 or 81, 82.
Yes,
it didn't come out in the 70s, and it didn't have Springsteen on it either.
It had Billy Joel doing Nobody Knows But Me.
That was the second one.
Oh. Shit. Which one had Livingston Taylor doing Pajamas?
I think that might have... The first one had Taylors all over the place. Simons also. So maybe that was the first one. And it also had the Doobie Brothers doing Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a song called Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod. I don't know what else to tell you. But it didn't have Springsteen on it.
Okay, it was on In Harmony 2.
In Harmony 2, there you go.
Which I think was like 83, so...
81.
Aha.
Yeah. Look at that. Yeah, Winkin', Blinkin', and Nod is In Harmony 1, right. And In Harmony 2 does have Santa Claus Coming to Town. But I've heard two versions of Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Springsteen. I've heard two live versions on the radio. One is slower than the other.
The one that got played in the 80s, that was done at CW Post in 1975.
Which is the one where he says he's flying over Jersey and Santa starts coughing? He starts hacking up a lung.
I don't even know that one.
That's the version that I know. He goes, "It's flying over Jersey." He's flying over Jersey, and I guess it's Clarence goes. that's my version. That's the version I listen to. I'll send it to you.
Okay, cool. I don't.
That's my absolute. That's the version I go with. But either way, yeah, that's a 70s thing. So.
Yeah.
I don't know any other. Michael Parr suggested Fairy Tale of New York.
Yeah.
But that's an 80s one, and don't they say the line, don't they call somebody a faggot in that song?
You scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy faggot, happy Christmas, your ass, I thank God it's our last.
Yeah, I won't be doing that one.
Yeah.
But it's too bad Wonderful Christmas Time is 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know some.
It's awful.
I know some people who really hate that song.
Jeff Rabel.
All of us.
All of us. that's 79, so close. So close, 79.
What doesn't Frabel hate?
I know. No, you know what he doesn't hate? Jimmy Buffett. I swear to God, he's a
good
huge Jimmy
that's
Buffett.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
And I give him shit for it every single day.
I know. I love it. Your slap bites are fucking hysterical.
How awesome would it be to be Jimmy Buffett?
Oh, man.
I can't think of one bad thing about that guy's life.
Who has a better life than Jimmy Buffett?
That's true. That's a good point.
It's just saying.
Except for the lack of hair.
I think he's okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would have bought himself some new hair by now.
A new scalp.
that guy has more money than Oprah, I'm sure.
And he only works like 3 months a year.
That's the thing. Hangs out on his boat.
Yeah.
Does Jimmy Buffett have a Christmas album? Because if he does.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my God. How have we not
How have we missed
him?
That?
It came out in 96.
Christmas Island.
Yep.
Bitch, I'm ordering that right now.
No, it's okay.
Right this minute.
No, it's all right. You don't have to do that.
I was just telling Jason, who's coming out on Tuesday? Carly Simon is reissuing her Christmas record, and the Pet Shop Boys are coming out with a Christmas EP.
I think the Pet Shop Boys one might actually be good.
Carly Simon, not so much.
Well, I think we must have missed that one. It originally came out in 2006 or something, so we missed that one too.
I was reading the reviews on Amazon, and I guess it was recorded in a hotel room. I swear to God, somebody wrote that. It was recorded in a hotel room on a laptop. So that's right up our alley, I think.
Wow.
Well, so is this.
Oh, Jimmy Buffett?
No, I mean our podcast.
Right, but we're not selling it. We're not selling it.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah, Carly Simon, everything she does is kind of half-assed these days, isn't it? Wasn't her recent album really half-assed? What was it called? Come on, it had a really great title.
The most recent one was acoustic covers of her older stuff.
Yeah, but what was it called? Never Been Gone?
Something like that, yeah.
I don't know.
It had the worst cover.
That was it. Yes, it was just... Dave said something really funny about it.
Yes, that was a great line. They finally found a way to de-emphasize her lips without using her rack.
Right. Because it's a picture of her face with a magnifying glass over her eye. Yeah.
I was really proud of that.
Yeah, that was a great comment.
Not a very good record. Nobody needed to hear an acoustic version of Coming Around Again.
Yeah, nobody ever here needed to hear the original version of it either.
But it's a lot better than the one that came before it. Well, I'm looking at this Jimmy Buffett thing. The last song is called Merry Christmas, Alabama, and it's 8.5 minutes long.
Oh, you already bought it, didn't you?
It's coming. It's coming.
Well, I think Mellow
Happy Mellow Miss, my friend.
Oh, I hate you. I hate you so much. Oh, he covers Happy Christmas, War is Over. Oh.
I don't know why, but I'm always surprised when I see the chutzpah on people to cover that song. Like, I've seen so many shitty artists cover that song. You would think,
yeah,
you know, that should be, you know, relatively off limits, but it isn't.
I don't mind the Melissa Etheridge cover. I know you probably hate that, but I don't mind that one.
She'd probably do a decent version of it.
Who just covered it? Someone just covered it recently.
Yeah, this year. And I can't remember who it was, but I remember being really appalled.
Let me see if it's in my collection. I should have a few versions of that song. Oh, my God, I have 13 versions. technically I guess I have 11 or 10. I probably have some duplicates here. You want to hear who I have doing it? Oh, wait, Jeff, we know who did it. Neil Diamond did it. We covered it for Melamus.
God.
We covered it from Elvis. Here's who I've got doing it. Metallica. That's kind of awesome. REO Speedwagon.
That's who it was.
Winger.
Really?
Sarah McLachlan.
Who turned it into a fucking dirge.
Damien Rice. Neil Diamond. Melissa Etheridge. That's the only version I'll listen to other than the original. And John Andrazik.
Oh, the Five for Fighting guy?
Yeah.
You should get the guy from Five for Fighting and Sarah McLachlan to have a death duel.
A whale off?
Yeah. A piano dirge death battle.
In 2001, I saw Five for Fighting.
Whoever's left awake at the end.
You saw Five for Fighting live?
Oh, you stepped on my jokes.
Sorry, you stepped on Dave's joke. Sorry, that was Jeff. It wasn't me. I was holding off.
I'm sorry. That was rude, I know, but I just couldn't. I was so shocked that somebody I knew would pay to see Fire for Fighting in concert.
I did. Me and my buddy, we liked that first album, so we went and saw him in concert. But this is the best part. My best friend Rez. So we go to see Fire for Fighting, and I think Rez has had a little bit to drink. So we're probably like 6 or 7 rows back, and of course Rez is yelling out every song. He's yelling out Superman, Superman. You know, and so finally he plays the song. And I look at Rez, and he yells, Superman 2!
You know, normally I hate that asshole at a concert. But if it's Five for Fighting, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, he was kind of doing it quietly because he didn't want to be that guy. But it was just like the fact that he said Superman 2. I just thought that was funny. Anyway, that's how many covers I have of Happy Christmas, War is Over.
Poor John Lennon.
You know, I can see why people would want to cover it. For starters, it's an easy song to sing.
Yeah.
And second of all, every single person is like, I want to have somebody I do not want to hear. I want a version that does not contain Yoko.
Yoko Ono. But I don't think anybody records it with the eerie whispering at the beginning that is often cut off from the FM version. The Merry Christmas, Yoko. Merry Christmas. or whatever it is. Merry Christmas, John.
I mean, I'm waiting for Wing to do it.
I have Winger. Is that close?
No, you got to have Wing to do the get Wing to do the Yoko part.
I'm surprised Wing hasn't done it.
Yeah, me too. Because, well, no, we have her Christmas album.
We do have her Christmas album. It's not on there. She. What I love about Wing's Christmas album is that
for reasons of redundancy, maybe.
Everyone sings carols with Wing. That's very funny. Everyone sings carols with Wing, but then on that album, there's only like four or five Christmas songs, and then she does a Vision of Love, or Vision of Love, I think she calls it. When You Believe.
Okay.
So, don't forget, O Mio Babino Caro.
I was thinking of Kasi Namu.
Or Shanghai Tan 2 Chinese version. It's a classic. Everyone should have it.
That was the Melamus finale from last year, so if anybody wants to hear a few of those songs, the link is in the show notes. Go ahead and take a listen.
Yeah.
But we don't recommend it.
No. Okay, well, I think that we should discuss some new business, and that's that first that we have a Facebook group for fans of the podcast. Our Poptos colleague, the great D.W. Dunphy, created it, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes. So join up right on our wall, start a discussion about the podcast, post a soup recipe, just hang out with us there.
You know, I think he named it Why I Never, fans of the Poptos. I feel like that was a tribute to my aunt.
It might have been.
Because I was trying to think about why he titled it Why I Never, and I think it was because we talked in the last podcast about my aunt finding you shocking and crude.
Yeah.
Can you record her saying Dave Lifton is very crude?
I could probably get her to do it. I saw her last night. I should have asked her. Next time I'll try to get her to do it. In fact, I could, seriously, no joke, I could get her to record a message to Dave. I'm going to try and do that. Someone remind me, and I will, when I see her after Christmas, I will get her to record a message to Dave, and we can play it during the next podcast.
Oh, awesome. That would be so awesome.
Just give me a reminder, and I'll do it. I'll definitely do it. She'd definitely be up for it.
You just set yourself up.
Oh, she'd be up for it.
Yeah, it's like, boy, that side of the family's up for anything.
I didn't realize we were moving on to aunt jokes.
Well, you know, it's the same DNA, so.
Next, God, you know we're in trouble when we've graduated from mom jokes and we're like, your female cousin would blah, blah, blah. Twice removed from my balls. I'm sorry, new business? Oh, we covered it.
That's it. That's it for new business.
That's it. Okay.
All right. You're tuning in to Jason Hare. And with Christmas just around the corner, we've decided that the topic for today's show should be the best present you ever received, and we're going to start with Jason.
Oh, no.
You could have lied, you know.
I know. The thing is that I wanted to, well, one, I wanted to be funny, and the easiest way for me to be funny is just to pick something that's completely emasculating. And also I wanted to go with my gut.
Do you have anything that is emasculating?
Very few things.
Okay.
If I think of one, I'll let you know. I did a century ride this summer. I did a 100-mile bike ride. That feels somewhat manly to me, less masculine. I did it on a girl's bike wearing a pink
the
shirt.
The bike had a banana seat
and tassels. And tassels. I had a pinwheel on my helmet, and I was wearing a pink bike jersey that said Strawberry Shortcake on it. But other than that, it was pretty manly. But the other reason that I wanted to go with my gut, and I was like, let me quickly think about the best present that I recall. And I've had this is not to say that I haven't had a bunch of wonderful presents since then, but when I was 8 years old, I came down the stairs and I opened up all my presents. You're laughing already.
Just tempted to go somewhere on the phrase came down the stairs.
I was eight. Oh, have a modicum of respect.
Yeah, that's why I didn't go there, and I just kept it to myself.
Sorry. Oh, well, too late for that. Don't keep things to yourself. I haven't followed that rule yet. So I come down the stairs, and I think it's funny. I run down the stairs, and I open up all my gifts and whatever, and you know, it seems like a great Christmas, and I'm very happy, and my mom says, there's one more thing for you, and I was like, where? And I'm looking around, and over on top of my piano is a Cabbage Patch Kid. Now, I have to preface this. Now, oddly, you know, obviously boys do not play with dolls, but in my grade in school, which is second grade, everybody, that was the thing to buy. First grade, who knows who starts these trends, right? But first grade, it was He-Man figures, so we all had to have our He-Man figures. Second grade, everybody had Cabbage Patch Kids, and it wasn't just the girls. It was all the guys had them too. Everybody had them. So it wasn't like it was a thing to be to feel funny about or be ashamed of, and everyone had them, you know. And that was the year, I'm sure if you look back, there's got to be news reports online or something of people waiting in the Toys R Us in the malls for hours trying to get them. So
waiting, people are getting shanked for Cabbage Patch Kids. Are you kidding? I remember that year.
That was like the first major time that I could think of, you know, like the thing that started the whole Christmas consumerism rush.
What is that guy doing right now? What was his name? Xavier Roberts?
That's his name, yeah. I don't know what he's doing. He's got to be rolling in it. I mean, that was like the, what was that? That was like the Tickle Me Elmo of 1984 or whatever it is. Yeah. So, and I didn't think I was getting a Cabbage Patch Kid at all. So I think that added to the excitement was that I wasn't anticipating one. I didn't know one was coming. And no joke, that was the first time in my life, I was only 8 or 7, but it's the first time in my life I cried from being happy. My eyes welled up, and my mom, there's a photo somewhere of the look on my face. Now I'm gonna have to go see if I can get that photo.
And then your dad started crying too.
Right? What has happened to my son? Merry Christmas, your son's a fruit. So yeah, that was my best present. That was the best present that I can remember being so excited that, like, I was like, you know, when you're a kid, you don't cry from joy, you don't cry from happiness, you cry from anguish and skinning your knee, you know, things like that. But I cried joy, and the only other time I cried from joy was when I was a kid. Ready was when my mom told me that that I was gonna have a little brother. That was the other time. But I seriously, that was the gift that I remember being like the first gift that I was so happy about.
In 1984 alone, 20 million dolls were bought.
And they all had fucked up names.
Yeah.
There was something about, and I don't know why they did this, but they had stupid names. Mine was, and of course I remember the name, because they all came with a first name and a middle name. Mine was Willie Toby, which wasn't actually so bad. But then I had a second one who I loved less, as all second children are.
And holy shit! Hold on a second. I'm on Wikipedia. I'm looking at the this guy Xavier Roberts, this millionaire fruitcake.
Please tell me he lost it all investing in condos in Vegas.
Oh man, but this place is in Georgia. It's called the Babyland General Hospital. Let me describe to you.
Oh God.
The birthing process that takes place at this crazy place.
Please tell me they have a woman get up and get in the stirrups.
It's close.
Okay.
Dolls are birthed every hour during business hours in a procedure during which one of the LPNs, licensed patch nurse, assists the magic crystal tree in producing each doll. When the intercom announces that a mother cabbage is in labor, a nurse hurries to get ready for delivery of a new cabbage patch baby. With the nurse are the pink and blue bunny bees that pollinate the kids with crystals, determining if the newborn is a boy, blue crystal, or girl, pink crystal. The nurse comments on how much the tree is dilated and injects with amagicillin, an experimental but highly recommended drug. It gets better.
Suddenly, Build-A-Bear Workshop doesn't seem so freaky.
If the need arises, a C-section or cabbage section may be administered. After the doll is successfully birthed, the audience is asked to provide suggestions for the first two names, the third of which is always that of the adopter.
You know, I actually think I heard about this on This American Life. There was like a woman who was like telling the story of she'd worked there.
Oh my God.
And you know, it was just like something like she was looking for some extra money during the holidays or something. And it was just basically like you know, how basically she just like couldn't get into it and stuff, and you know, like all the kids and the craziness that went on there. I forgot the whole thing. I'll try to look for it and I'll in their archives and post a link to it.
It sounds like a large portion of the craziness has nothing to do with the kids.
Well, you know how when you work at Google, you get free lunches? You know, you get free lunches at Google. At the Cabbage Patch Factory, you get free LSD.
or whatever drug you need to
get
you
through
sane.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine those people coming home to their families? How was your day at work? Oh, we had the most wonderful birth today. It was amoxicillin was used for the thing, and you know.
I just, if I ever had to work there, I would never stop screaming.
I may submit your name to an online application. See if you can get a job there.
Oh no! What it was is F.A.O. Schwartz's marketing scheme to sell high-end dolls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. The newborn nursery adoption center.
Oh, okay. I don't even know who it was. I don't even know if it was my parents that waited on the line. It may have been an aunt or an uncle that was in an area that was not as busy or something like that. I knew when I was a kid, I think I knew that's why it just wasn't possible for me to get a Cabbage Patch Kid, because I'd seen the news, you know, and it was obvious that they didn't have them. I don't remember being particularly, I'd have to ask my parents, I don't remember being particularly upset about it. Just kind of resigned that that's what it was, and my friends had them and I didn't, and so I wouldn't be having one for Christmas. I mean, that was just what it was. So it was. So that.
I wish the story was that your dad had made one for you.
Well, they did have imitation. They did have knockoff Cabbage Patch dolls.
Did they already have them at that point?
Oh yeah. Oh definitely. Wow. They even then companies were smart enough to be like, let's jump on this and make, because you know, come on, the company can't keep up with demand. We'll make something similar. But it was you could tell they weren't the same. Because it didn't
Rutabaga babies.
It didn't. It didn't have Xavier Roberts' signature on the ass.
Yeah.
That was what made them Cabbage Patch Kids. Is that his signature was on the butt?
I was expecting this story to be a lot more emasculating.
I'm sorry. I apologize. That's what I got.
Because you're right. Everybody had those that year.
How emasculating? How much more emasculating could it be? Getting FDS in your stocking?
But I had two. I have two little brothers, and they both had them.
Oh, okay.
It's like, ooh, pantyhose. That would have been, I guess, a more emasculating gift. I might look good in pantyhose, though. My wife in the other room just shouted out, "You do." Thanks, honey. That's awesome. No, that's it. That's it. That's my best gift.
Do you still have it?
I don't think so.
Tell me it's under the bed or something.
So it's under the bed? No, it's not. It might be somewhere in an attic in a little thing of stuffed animals, but chances are, because I did have a second one, and I don't know what happened to that one.
A second one? See, now that's fruity.
I said that before. Oh, you were reading the Wikipedia. That's why you didn't hear me. I said I love the second one less, as is the case with all.
I was gaping in horror at the Wikipedia.
I said that's the case with all second children. they're loved less, but I didn't like that one. Brent Fritz. I didn't like that one as much. I don't know where they are now, in the Cabbage Patch graveyard. If you think if they're going to go to the effort to have a Cabbage Patch birthing thing, they should have a Cabbage Patch cemetery too, you know, with like a little Cabbage Patch Grim Reaper that comes for them.
They have one. They have a cemetery at Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, the Flavor Graveyard.
Yeah.
And they resurrected Wavy Gravy from it.
Because
they had a contest to, you know, it's like, what was your favorite flavor? That's in the graveyard, and we'll resurrect it. Yeah. And shocking, Wavy Gravy won.
Well, what else was in there? Like, I don't know, banana pudding or something. I don't know. I don't remember the flavors that I like that are no longer around at Ben and Jerry's.
And it's really funny that you guys mention ice cream, because I really like to cook, but I'm always looking for new things to try. And I also love desserts, but I'm really not into baking because every time I've tried that, I've wound up with flour all over the place. But in 2002, my then girlfriend got me an ice cream maker. It's like a Cuisinart model. that has a bowl. You keep it in the freezer, and that's got an inner layer of Freon in it, and you put the ingredients in the bowl, and it spins around on a base, and that aerates and freezes the mixture, and you makes about a quart of fresh homemade ice cream. And with it, she also got me the Ben & Jerry's recipe book. And after I tried some of the recipes in there, I was really, you know, and was really happy with the results. And one of the great things about the book is that it really encourages the reader to experiment. And it just says, you know, here's like our base, the mixture of milk, cream, and sugar. And as long as you have that down, you know, just try all kinds of things and you can make your own flavors. And that's what I've done. Jeff, I think you'd be interested in knowing that I make a bourbon vanilla pecan.
I was just going to ask you if you made bourbon nuggets and put them in the ice cream batter.
Wow.
About a quarter cup of bourbon into like just a regular vanilla, and you throw some pecans in there and add caramel sauce at the end, and it is unbelievable. And the good thing was, the one of the side benefits was, because I was eating a lot of ice cream, I wound up putting on some extra weight, and my girlfriend couldn't complain about it because I had the perfect excuse. Oh, honey, I just love your gift so much. You don't want it to sit there in the cabinet unused, do you? You know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did she get you like carrots the next year?
Well, she was a vegan, so she didn't partake in it. So I had to make it all by myself. And I tried using soy milk a few times to make some for her, but didn't get the right consistency. You know, you just don't get that creaminess that you have. So it, you know, and I've got about half a pint left of gingerbread latte flavored right now that
nice.
I made, which was the first flavor that I really tried with. It's just, you know, it's like I just took like their recipe for coffee ice cream and I threw some ginger and cinnamon and nutmeg in there, and it's just really good, especially on a cold day.
I'm looking this up right now. Now I want one. Cuisinart ice cream maker?
Yeah, it's like $50.
Wow. I might buy one.
Yeah. And get the Ben & Jerry's recipe book with that. So that's like $10.
That sounds awesome. I don't have much room in my freezer for it, but I'll make room.
You put it in there like the day before you want to make it.
When you look on Amazon to buy the ice cream maker, it they suggest that you buy the Ben & Jerry's book with it.
I'm just jealous. We have one here, but it's the kind that you have to add rock salt to, and it's loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the neck.
Did you ever use it?
We didn't use it last summer, but we used it the summer before. Now I just want to buy a Cuisinart one.
Yeah, that's the type that you have to hand churn is you know, the type you get once.
Well, you don't hand churn it; it runs by itself. But you have to dump in the rock salt. Yeah. Actually, you have to layer rock salt and ice, and it's a pain in the neck.
It sounds annoying.
Yeah, this is much more efficient, and it probably makes a better quality product too than the other kind.
Of course, the Freon is probably leaking into your ice cream and giving you cancer of the balls.
Maybe that's why his girlfriend got it for him. She showed you.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
My best Christmas gift. Well, it was probably the wireless headphones that Jason got for me one
day. You were totally pandering.
No, I'm just kidding. I have to say, my brother got me a TiVo one year.
Awesome. Which,
yeah, totally, you know, I wouldn't say it changed my life, but it came pretty close. TiVo. Love TiVo. I like to sleep with my TiVo.
You almost do sleep with your TiVo because you're pretty much watching it when you're in bed.
That's the only time I get to watch TV, yeah. So thank God for TiVo.
I'll get to my thoughts on TiVo in a second, but I'm a little, whenever I see, like, you know, somebody got me, you know, TiVo, or they got me, you know, an iPhone or something like that, one of the things that, you know.
Someone got you an iPhone?
No, but I'm saying, whenever I hear that somebody.
Oh, okay.
His ex-girlfriend did. It was a vegan iPhone.
I'll get to her more in a second about TiVo.
It's the one that gives you nut cancer.
Yeah. No, what I mean is the idea that, like, you know, I'm giving you something, but this requires a monthly fee.
Well, I definitely agree. I agree with you on that. Before our wedding, we had two friends that got us a TiVo, and they bought us the lifetime subscription on it.
Then that's awesome.
That was awesome.
That is awesome. But it's like saying, okay, I'm going to give this to you, but you know, this the amount that you're going to spend on it is much more, that is going to wind up being much more than what I have.
You guys are impugning my awesome gift.
No, appreciate it. No, I'm.
You are an impugner, sir.
No shit. do you know me? No, but I love TiVo. I mean, I was a holdout until 2006, and the reason is why I decided to make the plunge was just, as you guys know, I'm a big soccer fan, and this was just before the World Cup, and you know that was taking place in Germany, so I was at work during the day, and I had to you know, so I could record the games and then watch them at home. And one of the funny things is that I went to Best Buy to get the TiVo, and I saw a friend of mine who was buying a big screen TV for the exact same reason. He was using the World Cup as an excuse to get a flat screen.
Nice.
Yeah, and you know, you were just, you know, making fun of my girlfriend. We were, you know, she was really ambivalent about it. Oh, why do you need this? You know, blah blah blah. It's like, all right, as long as you pay for it. I'm like, you don't understand. We don't have to remember to set the VCR anymore or make sure we have blank tapes. It's all there. Of course, you know, she wound up controlling the damn thing. And, you know, so it was like the happiest moment, like the only happy moment of the breakup was when I deleted all of her shows off the season pass.
Just picture Dave in the dark, like stabbing the remote.
Right.
You know, it's like,
pick cook.
Goodbye, CSI. Goodbye, SVU. I fucking hate your formulaic bullshit.
We had like the cable company's DVR beforehand, so I was like, there's no reason for TiVo. But then when they got it for us, I was hooked. And now, actually, the TiVo they bought us with the lifetime service, I don't even use anymore because we wound up buying an HD TiVo because there's really no point in having an HD television without an HD TiVo, because what was the point of taping all my shows in non-HD and watching them on an HD screen? That's awful. So we pay for that one, whatever it is, $7-$8 a month, but it's totally worth it.
This broadcast is probably endorsed by 5-time Grammy Award winner Michael McDonald.
And now it's time for the endorsement section of the show, and we're going to discuss our favorite holiday pop culture artifact, either your favorite Christmas movie, your TV special, or album. Jason, go.
This is going to come to no surprise to anybody who read my review last week. The Yule Log.
Oh, I was expecting John Denver and the Muppets.
I was expecting Ernest Saves Christmas.
I haven't seen Ernest Saves Christmas.
What?
Or if I have, it's been a long time. Why would we never even talked about Ernest Saves Christmas? Have we?
It's awful, and I just assumed that you would have seen it.
Because it was awful.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't watched a lot of Christmas. If we were talking music, it would be John Denver and the Muppets, because the John Denver and the Muppets A Christmas Together album is the album that my parents had since I was a little kid. I mean, I think it came out in 76, 77, 78, somewhere around there. So it was right when I was a kid, and it was the album we always put on when we decorated the tree. So I love that album. That album still does definitely get me teary. But my thing is the Yule Log. And for people who haven't read my review, and don't bother, you don't have to read my review, but I will.
No, come on, it's a brilliant piece of work.
You overuse the word brilliant.
Words. No, there's something definitely brilliant about being able to devote 900 words to a picture. What is it? Is it 60-second loop? Is that what you said? What's the loop? How long is it?
No, it's 12 minutes, I think.
A 12-minute loop of fire in a fireplace. How could you? It's brilliant. I couldn't.
I don't doubt that you couldn't do it, But I still think you are overusing the word brilliant. This makes me question everything that I've done that you've said is brilliant.
I do think it takes a peculiar kind of brilliance to come up with 900 words to say about Yule Log.
Just say it's peculiar. I will. For those who haven't read my review of an imitation Yule Log, the basic story behind the Yule Log is that in the late 60s, in like 66, there's a station here in New York, which Dave will know, WPIX, Channel 11, that the president and CEO of the company decided he wanted to give a Christmas gift to those families living in the city metro area who didn't have fireplaces in their apartments. So he just had them shoot a film of a fire and they looped it, and they just put it on, and they had all this music. It was kind of – WPIX also had a radio station at the time, so they – and it was an easy listening station. So it was mainly easy listening Christmas music that was broadcast over the Yule log. You could listen to it on the radio if you wanted the music, or you could turn on your TV and have this image of this fireplace. And – they had to reshoot it because the film got old, so they reshot it in, I think, 69 or 70 or something like that, and they reshot it, and they played it every year from 70 to, I guess, 89. And because they were broadcasting it without commercial, they had to take it off the air for budget reasons. But then after, supposedly the reason was after 9/11, the country needed to feel good again, and the city needed to feel good again. The way they were going to feel good again was the Yule log.
That is the saddest thing I've heard.
Well, they brought the Yule log back, and since then it's won its time slot in the, you know, in the tri-state area for Christmas morning. So they've kept it on. But basically, the reason I love the – and it's not like – it's they broadcast it depending on the day Christmas falls on. I think they broadcast it anywhere from 2 hours to 4 hours. This year I think they're doing it 2 hours and then a brief break and then another 4 hours. So that's a total of like 6 Yule log hours. But I should say, it's not like I sit there and watched, like, focused on a Yule log for 4 hours. It's just Christmas Eve at my house when I was a kid was, like, the happiest day of the year because we had everybody come to our house. So it was, like, both sides of my family, who I didn't see them all together that often. You know, my mom's side, her sisters and her sister and her parents, and then my dad's sister and his parents and all of our friends. Everyone was over. So it was just, like, as a kid, for me, it was like the place to be. And I have such good memories of that. And then I remember it was also like one of those days, one of those rare days where my dad would turn the television off, you know. But every once in a while, I would turn it on and just see that there was a log burning. And I thought that was so weird, but oddly comforting. So since then, it's on my TiVo. And this is how you know how big my HD TiVo is. It occupies 7.5 gigs of space on the TiVo. And I leave it, I tape it every Christmas, and every Christmas I retape it, then delete the previous year, which makes no sense because it's always exactly the same every year. I just do it. I don't know why. I enjoy it. I love it. The only thing that would beat out, I think, the Yule log would be if they released John Denver and the Muppets A Christmas Together, the TV special, which has never been released on video or Laserdisc or DVD or anything. It's only I bought a DVD rip of a Disney Channel broadcast from the early 80s or the mid 80s or something like that.
Now why hasn't it been released? Like, what's been the delay? Or I mean,
it's got to be John Denver's family, I would imagine.
Okay.
I mean, it's not awesome. It's not as good as the album, and it's got some slow moments, and my copy's all grainy. But what are you laughing at?
Of course, it's got some slow moments. It's John Denver and the goddamn Muppets. It's all slow moments.
I'm glaring at you right now. I want you to know. I'm not laughing. I'm not humoring you. I'm just staring at you. I'm unhappy with your response to my comment about John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together. I'm upset.
I'm sorry.
I'm upset. I'm upset now.
I take it back.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. You've made me sad. If I had a sad trombone noise right now, I would play it.
My favorite Christmas special.
I do.
I like to watch Seven. Gets me in the spirit.
You're a jerk.
No, you know, actually, I've been sitting here listening to you guys, and
we know.
I, for the first time, it occurred to me. Did
actually,
you know
I wasn't sure.
Because I wouldn't take it for granted if I were you. I just realized I actually kind of like Christmas movies. I'm looking at my shelf right now.
The Yule Log.
No, I don't have the Yule Log. I do have A Christmas Story, and I have Die Hard, which I would count.
Yeah.
And I have A Wish for Wings That Work, the Bloom County, you know, Christmas cartoon. And I even have Ernest Saves Christmas.
Nice. So which is your so of those, is that where we're making our choice from? It doesn't have to be a movie. It could be a TV special. It could be music.
I don't think I have a favorite. But I will tell you this. My daughter, who you just read Green Eggs and Ham with on the phone the other night.
That's true.
Aw.
I was kind of making it up as I went along. I mean, I think I had it pretty much right. You know, house, mouse.
I think you did too.
Did Jason tear up during it?
I'll have to
I didn't.
Himself.
We had a great conversation. We talked for like 10 minutes. Okay. We did Green Egg.
But I took them to the I took the kids to the bookstore the other day, and I guess Borders their holiday thing this year is Don't Be a Grinch, Give Dr. Seuss, and so they had a big like double life size, big huge Grinch in the front window. And neither of my kids had ever seen The Grinch before, so they were immediately transfixed. And we actually have a couple of big Dr. Seuss treasury books here at home. So I read it to her, and now she's obsessed with The Grinch, and so we're going to TiVo that tonight. I guess it's on the Cartoon Network. And
wait, so she hasn't seen it? Wow! Nope. Oh, she's going to...
First time.
She's going to love it.
So maybe that'll be my new favorite.
Wow, she was telling me all about it the other night.
Yeah, it'll leapfrog past 7 and become my new holiday.
Well, why favorite. Don't you show Sophie 7 and see which one she prefers? Let her. I mean, you have to let kids
Good
make.
Idea.
I'm not a parent, but I hear that you have to let kids make their own decisions. So why don't you show her 7, and then while she's up all night, you can just watch The Grinch on a loop.
I may end up watching the... I'm trying to get through the Mel Brooks box
right.
this week so I can write it up. I may end up watching massive portions of that with Owen because, you know, he's too young to tell him.
Are you going to let Sophie see the Jim Carrey version of Grinch?
No.
I never saw it, so...
My last office gig I had around the time that movie came out, and my boss dragged me to see it. I don't know why he was excited to see it, but... I had to go with him, and it was terrible.
Wouldn't it be great if we all worked in the same office?
Oh,
wouldn't it be awesome?
Great. We'd be killing
we
it.
We would be killing it. My dream is to have us all in the office and then have Kelly working there too so she can tweet about how much she hates us.
And then, like, Rabel stops by with a cup of coffee right. just saying, hey, guys, how's it going? And Jeff will go, like, go back to South Carolina, you fucking hick.
I tried to get Vrabel to do the our Overnight America segment for Monday, so I emailed him to tell him what the time was. But I had to slip in a crack about how I wasn't sure if South Carolina used time zones or clocks.
Or if it was like 80 years behind the times. That would have been my joke. The time zone there is, you know, 1863.
I think I'm probably about, I would say, maybe half a year away from packing up my stuff and moving to Stoddard and listen to Jeff clapping. I'm very close to moving up to New Hampshire and just parking my laptop next to Jeff's and being like, all right, let's do this.
Let's do it. My kids will be old enough to take care of themselves at that point.
But if I'm within 6 months away, you think? Yeah?
Yeah.
Kids are growing up fat. Well, if you show them 7, they'll grow up fast.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39-and-a-half-foot pole.
As I said before, I worked in record stores for years, so I was exposed to all sorts of Christmas music. And, you know, like, I love the classics, you know, like, you know, Nat King Cole and Bing Crosby. Yeah. But, you know, but for me, it doesn't get any better than Christmas Gift to You from Phil Spector. And that's because none of those, neither Nat King Cole nor Bing Crosby, have Darlene Love or Hal Blaine on them. Hal Blaine was the drummer in the
Wrecking Crew,
in Phil Spector's band.
Amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something about the Wall of Sound that already sounds like the holidays. And when you throw those bells on top of it, it's just even better. I just put it on as I was walking through the streets the other day, and it was just amazing. And, you know, and then, you know, I also love that every year David Letterman has on Darlene Love to sing Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
That's right.
It's just.
Except for 1 year. In 2007, she wasn't on because of the writer's strike.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, yeah, he's had her on every year. And this year, Darlene and Ronnie are performing together at B.B. King's here in New York.
I've heard that they were doing holiday shows.
Yeah, I think that, every other year they perform separately.
You got to figure, Darlene Love and Ronnie Spector together, how many stories are there of just pure psychosis did they have to induce?
You know, chances are the reason they never performed together is because Phil Spector wasn't locked up and they didn't want to be in the same place at the same time.
It's like the president and the vice president always traveling separately.
Exactly. That's a great album. You know, I didn't realize that album went out of print and was only re-released this year.
Yeah.
Really?
We just found out because of we got a pitch from Sony, I think, right?
I didn't even know
about
that.
They just reissued it.
I didn't know that. I remember...
You would think that would be in print all the time.
Well, it wasn't in print for years until the Phil Spector Back to Mono box came out.
Yeah, that's because Abco is a bunch of fucking assholes.
Yeah, well, that's Abco in general. You know, they just keep on reissuing the Stones catalog every 5 years.
But by itself, though, like Jeff said, you'd think that album... I think most people would be surprised to know that it wasn't easily available.
It had been there for, I don't know, through most of the 90s. I mean, I got mine, finally got my copy a few years ago through the, from the box set, when I finally bought the box set, probably around 2004 or something. But I didn't know that it was out of print.
I know it was released on November 22nd, 1963.
Really?
Oof. Yeah.
Wow.
It was released on that day.
That's when Dave was in his freshman year of high school.
Yeah, the album actually, it failed. it failed when it came out.
Yeah.
I'm going to the wiki here. As of 2007, the Back to Mono box and the standalone CD version had been taken out of print by Abco, and Sony took it over. So.
Okay, so it was only out of print for a couple of years.
I guess
then.
So. Yeah. Do you guys know that Sonny Bono played percussion on the Christmas record, the Phil Spector Christmas record?
Yeah, he was a studio rat. He was a member of the Wrecking Crew.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he also helped out with Jack Nitzsche with a lot of the arrangements on a lot of those other LA studio records.
The only original song on there was "Christmas Baby, Please Come Home," which I believe we will have covered in Melamus by the time this goes live.
Yeah, not quite in the way you're hoping.
It's Melamus, it's exactly the way you're hoping.
No, I don't want to hear that.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
And that's going to do it for this episode of the Pop Dos Podcast. We still have a few days left of Melamus, so look for a new installment every morning. Just make sure you've had your breakfast first. Thanks to all of those of you who left a review of the show at the iTunes Music Store. We're now up to 5. So if you haven't done so, there will be a link in the show notes. And also in the show notes is a link to the Facebook page. For fans of the podcast, join us, be our friends, we're that needy. And you can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/popdos. Once again, I'd like to wish all of you a happy holiday season and New Year. Jason and Jeff, anything to add?
Merry Christmas.
See you next decade.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa to those of you who celebrate the fine holiday of Kwanzaa, which I know nothing about.
You know a little something. Wasn't it Teddy Pendergrass who sang to us about
Quantum? Actually, this would be a nice time to mention that I was, just for fun, I was looking back in the chats when Jeff and I invented Melomus, and that was one of the first songs he found, because I told Jeff about my idea for the holiday, and Jeff started scouring through the internet at lightning speed, and he was like, Teddy Pendergrass has a Kwanzaa song. So I don't know if it's still available in the Melomus archives, since some of those were on Jeff's site, but
that was on Popdust, the Teddy Pendergrass Kwanzaa.
No, was it? Oh, then it must have been imported over. So okay, so if it's on Popdust, you can go and wish yourself a Merry Kwanzaa.
I know that because I was looking at it the other day, so.
Oh, excellent. Well, yeah, so as Jeff said, see you guys next decade. Okay, I'm recording. Go ahead. What does the Elton John ice cream taste like? What's it called?
What's it called, or what does it taste like?
Well, you tell me either one.
Whiskey, it's cocaine, and cum.
What was that?
Whiskey, cocaine, and cum.
Oh, my God.
Such an effort for Dave to get out his joke without whiskey. I know. He's trying so hard.
I would love to see Dave Lifton do stand-up.
I'm actually working on a routine.
You do all the build up and then
start laughing.
The punchline came, the whole audience would be like, "What
the hell did
he say?"
It's like Jackie.
He stopped breathing in the middle.
It's like Jackie the Joke Man.
Good night, everybody.
Does he crack?
Wait, trust me, this is really, really funny.
just hold on. Wait, I'm gonna get to it.